Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. And that music means that we have another Bookstube author on the phone, and we are thrilled to welcome author Doug Dorrow. He is a crime thriller author, and I can't wait to hear more about, boy, you have a ton of books here I want to hear about, and just also how things are going in the writing world. Welcome to KDWA. Thanks so much for calling in today, Doug.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm so glad to be here. I always like to talk about writing a book.
Do you want to tell our listeners, please, about yourself?
Sure. I live in Minneapolis. I've lived here about 30 years, I think. I'm married, have two dogs, two children in their 20s. Been writing for a while. Probably published my first book about 10 years ago, something like that. Like any good Minnesota person, I've got a lake cabin. Like to do the Minnesota event. We just got back from hiking Isle Royale up in Lake Superior.
Oh, wow. How grand. Tell us what you were like growing up, please.
Yeah, I grew up in Fargo, North Dakota. The land is, if you haven't been there, it's very flat from all the glaciers that came through there. Had a great time growing up there. Went to school in Grand Forks, North Dakota. I studied engineering, but that's where I kind of got introduced to writing. As part of my studies, I decided as electives to take a couple of creative writing classes, and I found that I really enjoyed those a lot. I got some good feedback from my professors, and it was also, I read a lot, and I think you'll find a lot of people who write. I think it's a great way to start out reading. So that's where I kind of started thinking about, oh, maybe I could write a book someday. And then when I moved here about 30 years ago, then I started looking in to take some community classes, and I took a couple classes at the Loft Literary Center here, and got in a couple of writing critique groups, and kept writing and trying some different things, and finally decided I'm going to do this, and wrote my first book, The Ninth District.
So when people decide that they are going to write a book, do you have the idea in your head about how the whole book is going to be formulated? Do you know the ending? Do you know the characters? That always fascinates me about writers.
Yeah, I like to generally have the protagonist or the hero in mind, and then you have to have a good antagonist, somebody that's going to give that hero a good battle, a good challenge. So try to come up with a pretty good criminal. And then I also like to figure out how I can make the location a character. In the Ninth District, I have tunnels that are underneath the city of Minneapolis. In my second book, Twice Removed, I take us to a small town in Minnesota in the Lake Country. In my thriller that I'm working on right now, Empire Builder, that should be out by the end of the year, I take us to the oil fields of North Dakota out around Williston area. And I take you out there in the middle of winter to make Winter a strong character in the story as well.
People like to hear books or read about things that places that they know, don't they?
They do. They do. And some of the comments I get from my readers say, oh, I love reading about places I grew up or where I've been. They can picture it in their mind, some of the locations.
So this event is going to be a virtual event. The Bookstube has gone virtual really since the pandemic started. And so this month is going to be no different. It's going to be on September 16th. At 7 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time, and if people are interested, we are posting the registration Zoom link on our Facebook page for the actual evening of the event. But you have been to a Bookstube event before.
Yeah, I think it was about 3 years ago I did my first event. The first one I went to was for my friend Tom Combs, who's more of a medical and that area of thriller writer from Minneapolis. I was like, I'm going to go check out this Bookstube event, and then I was, I think, the next month or 2 months later. And it's grown quite a bit, I think. I think they've got a bigger room from what I hear, but it was a good time. It's a good time to see people face-to-face and talk about books and have some good food and a beverage and have a good time together.
So when you were growing up, what kinds of books did you like to read?
Well, I think it changed throughout time. For a while, I was kind of into the spy, John le Carré kind of books, and then I got into more of the adventure books, and I read a lot of Stephen King, and then I got more into the crime thrillers, I think, and I've read the local authors like John Sanford since his first book came out. I've read James Patterson for a long time, Michael Connelly, so that's kind of Vince Flynn, all those kind of thriller author books is what I kind of generally read today.
And was it something that just popped out about crime thrillers that you thought, that's the kind of book I would like to write?
You know, I've thought a lot about that. I think it's formed very young when my dad, I remember growing up, I got to stay up and watch television with him, right? He liked two kinds of shows, westerns and detective shows.
Yep, so did
and
my
that's
dad.
Where it kind of, yeah, I think that's where it kind of started. And then as I read the books and got into them, I just liked the style of them. When I started looking at writing, I had a roommate who was going into the FBI. And at that time, the FBI was always shown kind of as buffoons and not really good partners. And I'm like, I'm going to try and show the good side of them. You know, John Sanford was writing his characters as a police officer in St. Paul. And I was like, I'm going to try a different bent and show the FBI in Minneapolis. So that's where that kind of started.
Well, let's brag a little bit about you. You actually were part of the Minneapolis FBI Citizens Academy. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that was it was a good experience. I went through that, I think, about 4 or 5 years ago. You apply to the FBI, and they go through a selection process and pick, I can't remember how many people are in the class. Let's say 40 to 50 people are in the class from all different facets and job areas. And it's a way that they try to get involvement in the different areas of the community, the business community. I think I was one of three authors that applied, and they selected me to go through that class. And then every week over the summer, one night a week, you go there for a few hours and they cover a different topic. It could be weapons of mass destruction or white-collar crime or things like that. So you kind of get a little taste from the agents, kind of a little FBI school, so the FBI Academy. And you get a lot of connections with people in the Twin Cities area as well. And they've got a great alumni network. In fact, I think I have an event tomorrow night where, as an alum, you get to sit in and an agent will cover some topic of past investigation that they had.
Do you think in another life you would have been an FBI agent?
You know, I could have been. When my friend went into the academy, I know he called me up and was like, Doc, they're looking for agents. You should be one. I was like, oh, no, I'm not going to do that. But I can see the draw to it. And I know my friend had a long career. He was an accountant for a while and had a long career and really enjoyed it.
And what was your career, Doug?
Well, I still have that career. I've had different careers. I was a civil engineer for a while, and then I got into IT, information technology, team management, and for about the last 10 years, I've been working as like a program manager for a manufacturing firm managing new product development. So I still do that and try to find time to write outside of that.
So when you graduated from the FBI Citizens Academy, do you feel that that was something that really not only gives you street cred to write about in your books, but did you come up with some crazy characters from that? Or
yeah, it gives you some real, yeah, it really gives you some insight into, you know, who these agents are, because you get to see them every week and get to talk to them and kind of see that, you know, they're real people too. And have senses of humor and have serious jobs as well. And so you get to see all these different areas, and I try to take some of that and say, oh, how can I maybe put this into a book or put this into a character? I have a short story that I wrote called Trust Me that I got third place in BoucherCon a few years ago when it was down in Dallas. And that was I took a character and made him part of the art crimes team. So he investigates art crimes and art theft and made him a pretty unique character. And that kind of came out of the Alumni Academy as well, as they had a talk from an agent that investigated art crimes.
Well, that's pretty awesome. So where do you go to write? Do you go to a room in your house? Do you go to a coffee shop? Are you dedicated, you know, do you do it like certain times during the day or every day? How does it work for you?
Yeah, just like anything, that's changed over time. So when I was first writing, my kids were younger, and they would go off to their athletic practices, and I'd drop them off at a soccer field or a hockey rink, and then I'd go find the closest coffee shop for an hour and buy a coffee and put my headphones in and put some rock music on and just try to zone out and write for an hour.
Mm.
They're older now, so now I still like the coffee shop, but with the pandemic, I do most of my writing at home. Most of my writing is probably if I stay up late at night and do it, but I still find that I do my best writing if I can keep that other side of my brain engaged with listening to music or something and lets me focus in on the writing and the character development and the story that's coming out.
That seems very contrary to how most people would write. You would think that you would have to super duper concentrate on coming up with ideas.
Yeah, some people I think really need quiet. I know some people, like, they have to get up really early or stay up really late when the rest of the house is quiet and they want to find that quiet spot. But I found what works best for me is if I don't have something else distracting me while I'm writing, then other thoughts start popping in. What do I have to do? What are we going to have for supper? What are my other problems I'm trying to solve for work? If I can keep that part of my brain engaged with some music, it really lets me focus in on the writing.
Oh, dear. Your brain must be very complicated and better than mine. What the heck? That seems, I don't know how you do that. How did you first get published? Because I know a lot of people think they have the world's best book manuscript, but yet the whole publishing part is difficult.
Yeah, about in, so I was a part of this writing critique group that came out of the Loft, and we met every other week for a while, and I decided I was going to take this first book and try and get an agent, and we were working on a query letter with my critique group, and I was going to start sending it out to agents. I had a list of agents that I thought would be the right ones to target to see if I could get it published. And that's about the same time that the Kindle and other electronic books came into being, and it became less of a gatekeeper to get your works published. And then I decided that I was going to pursue this independent publishing. So I published this back in 2011 as an e-book, and then I also have an audio book of the first book. And so I run my own publishing business besides being a writer. So I publish my books. I get the cover artist engaged, I find my editors, I find copy editors, find readers to give me feedback on the book, I format the book and publish it. These the different storefronts like Barnes & Noble Nook and Amazon Kindle and Kobo, they've made it possible for anybody. If you have a product out there that you think can find an audience, you can publish it as an ebook and as a paperback, and even today now the audiobook is growing, the audiobook market's growing, and you can do it in all versions if you want to. So that's the route I went down, and it's been a fun road to learn the publishing business and pursue and make these relationships with a lot of great readers via email and Facebook, etc. It's been a lot of fun.
Boy, I bet it is. And just to think about what you have learned, you know, a whole new industry that you didn't really know about.
Yeah, I think to pursue this side of it, if you want to do it yourself, you got to have a little entrepreneurial bone inside of you that says, I'm not afraid to go learn these things and find these connections. And the other thing, the author market, or the author community out there is so supportive. There are different groups you can find online, and you can get questions answered, and people are out there on the leading edge trying things, and you see what's working and not what's not working, and if you need some help, you can email, and then people will help you with their experience and what they've learned in the past as well.
Doug, I know you have more than one series of books, and I'm curious to know, did you think they were going to be a series, or did you write your first book to be a standalone, and then as you were getting into it, you thought, gosh, there's more here? How does that work?
Yeah, so when I wrote the first book, The Ninth District, and the lead character's name is Special Agent Jack Miller, I thought I was going to do a series because that's most of the authors I read did series. I thought, well, I'll do a series, but they're kind of written as standalone, kind of like if you're a John Sanford reader. You can read each one, but the books kind of have repeating characters and things in them, but you don't have to read them in order to get the story. And that's kind of how mine are. So after I wrote the first one, I was like, okay, where can I take Jack next? He's going to go on a summer vacation, and my book involves his family as well, so you kind of get his family story. He's married, has a couple kids, and third book, he goes off to Williston on his own because there's a, what they call a resident agency up there, and so he's going to kind of leave his family behind for a couple weeks while he goes up there. So I wrote that one as a series, and I just was like, okay, where is he going to go next? And then in my first book, he had a sidekick, a junior agent named Ross Bruin, and people really liked him as a character. And I said, you know, I'm going to take him and spin him off into his own series. And what I did there is created something. I put him in the FBI's hostage rescue team, which is kind of like I call it super SWAT. They can go anywhere in the United States to work on issues. They call them critical incidents. So I have a critical incident series, and I have three stories in there. I've made those novellas. They're faster action, shorter stories, following the hostage rescue team. So people really like those. One, there's a dog in there. He's a retired war dog that came to be with the hostage rescue team, as well as you get to go on these quick adventures that are more action as they go from place to place. So there's three books in that series right now.
And do you go back and forth between your different series and write a book for each, or how does that work?
So I did the first book, and I was working on the FBI series with Jack Miller. I did the first book and was working on the second one, and I said, I'm going to go do this novella as I got this idea. And for a while, I gave that away to my new readers as a incentive to join my email list. And people really liked it. They were like, oh, it's short, but it's great. So I was like, okay, I'm going to write some more of those. I did a couple more of those, and I finished the second book in the other series. I was like, I got to write the third book in the Jack Miller series. And then I asked my readers, where should I go next? Because I got, there are other books I'd like to write as well. Besides these two series, I've got one with a female protagonist that's going to be like a secret agent. And that one's going to start in Sweden. And I really like this FBI agent that's part of this art crimes team. And I'd like to do some more with him. So I've brought him after the short story. I put him in the third novella in the FBI hostage rescue team. But I'd like to see him come back because he's a fun character as well. But I just kind of go back and forth. But I ask my readers as well, you know, what should I write next?
Well, you'll have an opportunity to ask a lot of your readers at the Bookstube event. Again, it's going to be on September 16th at 7 o'clock p.m. It's Thursday, and it's going to be a virtual event. So we do have the information on our Facebook page for people to find the Zoom link and participate. Do you think Jack Miller would be a friend of yours?
Yeah, I think he would be. Yeah, he's a good guy. He's a family guy.
Is Jack Miller, is he code for Doug?
No, but he's probably about my height, but he's got a better build and he's better looking.
That's always how it goes, isn't it?
Yeah.
Doug, thank you. So fun to chat with you. Congratulations on all of your success. And we can't wait for this great event. It's a virtual Bookstube September 16th at 7 o'clock p.m. Continued success to you. Doug Doro, he is a crime thriller author. And do visit him online at douglasdoro.com. That's Douglas, DOROW.com. Thank you so much. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.